Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
This is the Dale and Keith Show.
More, too much noise right now. More work, less noise. I feel like I was enemy of the f***ing state.
And how I feel is that the kid just needs to put on a helmet. There's over 30 different kinds. But come on, man. Just get a helmet on. You'll be fine.
Dale Arnold.
Brady's team, he wins the freaking Super Bowl. Of course he's the GOAT. May not be the boat.
What now?
Best of all time. Aaron Rodgers better than
him. Rich Keefe.
So, you know what I'm not a fan of, and I've never liked? Hippies. I pass on grass.
Dale and Keefe. Middays.
The all in. We're all out.
Put it in the open tomorrow.
Sell it.
Time.
Knock on wood if you're with me.
On the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Hour number two, Dale and Keith, Sports Radio WEEI. Red Sox baseball this afternoon, sort of.
Oh, maybe. It's Red Sox baseball. You know what I also just saw?
Uh-oh.
Dollar Dogs. This is looking better and better.
You know,
this is going to be unbelievable.
Afternoon could be filled here.
$5 ticket, $1 dog, and yes, they're selling beers. You almost want the game to take forever. You just sit there,
nice,
eat dogs
take your time
all day.
Down there.
That's amazing. So, top of the 10th, 105. Joe Castiglione, Rob Bradford on the call. Dale and Keith waiting around the station until 2 o'clock, just in case we have to go back on.
Just in case it's a four batter affair and then we're
right
back on again.
So does that mean OMF has to be here at 2 o'clock?
Yeah, because
now
you
the
don't
game
know
could go till 5, but it also could be over at 1:30. Very exciting stuff. Baseball's got
to
be loud.
I'd like to be in the other room just listening to Lou and Christian and Glenn.
Yeah.
As they're been sitting here since like 1:30 and it's now 4 o'clock and they're still waiting to go on.
This is what I think should have happened. Uh-huh. I think you and I should have been at Fenway Park. We should have done our show from 10 till 1, normal show, normal stuff. 1 o'clock, we start doing pregame. We start doing play-by-play. I'll even let you do play-by-play. I'll do
I'd
color.
Be willing.
We could do that. And then you say, well, what if the game takes 5 hours? That's okay. At 2 o'clock, we tap out, OMF in.
Guys.
They do the rest of the play-by-play. That would have been unbelievable. Then you have like a show going on. We're telling you what's happening on the field. I'm eating dollar dogs.
Drinking beers. One in each hand.
That's fine, too.
You could also take a pregame walk on the warning track.
I could absolutely do that. I could get my wireless mic down there. I could interview some of the fans. Say, hey, what did you think? You know, did you go to the game originally? What brought you out today? Things like that. So it's a missed opportunity.
I always hesitate about this stuff, and I've told you this in the past. Okay. I mean, I don't like to give Rob Parker oxygen.
Yeah, let's
I hesitate to give Max Kellerman oxygen.
He's at a better, higher class than Parker is.
So we just heard the cut during the open there, where I guess Kellerman's trying to tie himself into knots.
Trying
to decide whether Brady is the GOAT or the boat.
Yeah.
Philip Rivers has to think it through. The reason he's the GOAT, if he was in the conversation then, he's won two more Super Bowls since then. Now, they've all been close within a field goal either way. But the idea is not that had there not been an interception, they would have lost. The idea is, as usual, Brady's team 9 times has been in a position to win a Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. He's put him in a position 9 times, and 2/3 of the time he gets it. So 50% of the seasons of his career, he makes the Super Bowl. In 2/3 of those seasons, he wins the freaking Super Bowl. Of course he's the GOAT. May not be the boat, the best of all time. Aaron Rodgers better than him, but he hasn't been surrounded in the same situation, et cetera, et cetera.
Did you just make that up, the boat, or
yes,
people really say
he's, that's what I'm
great
saying.
Market.
Now they'll start saying it.
Wow.
He is the GOAT, clearly. And yes, he gets too much credit.
Well, first of
do I want to give this guy the oxygen?
No, we don't. First of all, the last Super Bowl that they won was not decided by a field goal. They won that game by 10, but whatever. You can put that to the side. This is such a semantics interview or argument. It's one of those ones where every year we're like, well, what most valuable player? Well, it depends on what you mean by most valuable. Like, greatest of all or best of all time, greatest of all time.
By the way, if you're the greatest of all time, you are thus the best of all time.
I think so.
He just wanted to work that boat thing in, yeah. And he was going to shoehorn that baby in there no matter what.
The boat.
If you're the greatest of all time, you are also the best of all time.
Of course he's the GOAT. May not be the boat.
That's
those
so
are synonyms. Let's break the news to Max.
I don't.
Those are the same word.
I don't love that. I don't love that. Now, did you see that there was a list of the greatest players of all time? ESPN put this together.
Yep.
Because the NFL's 100th season is about to begin, so they came up with who would be the best starting lineup, all time best starting lineup, every position. Both sides of the ball. I think they even did special teams on here as well. And who is their quarterback, Dale? Tom Brady. And I don't think...
6 Super Bowl wins, yeah. 9 Super Bowls will probably do that for you.
Now, the guys that they said who the argument would be for would be Johnny Unitas, John Elway, Peyton Manning, Joe Montana. And I just think Tom Brady... Like even Kellerman is having to give in now by calling him the GOAT. And he was saying, Tom Brady might have been your pick had they not won the last 2 Super Bowls. Like, it's just as soon as he matched Montana and he started to put up the same type of numbers in the regular season and started to win regular season MVPs, just so you had everything covered. Now he's just kind of piling on. So I think that was an absolute no-brainer for them to pick him as the number one quarterback of all time.
So according to a texter, Max even stole the boat from Pardon My Take.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, so it's not even an original idea.
So she's saying, you just made that up? He's, well, yeah, sure.
Of course I did.
Yeah. Not so much.
No, you didn't. What a dumb argument to even have. Boat, goat, who cares? He's the greatest. He's the best. Pick another word.
Those are the same
words.
Grab
a thesaurus. You can come up with a few more if you really want to and just tag oat on it. And that's what Tom Brady is.
It's an idiotic. It's like I said, every time we do this, we ensure that more people hear the idiocy he has to share than ever actually hear him when he's doing his show.
Yeah, probably. So I blame you. You're the one that brought that to the table, Dale.
I didn't put it in the open.
No, you didn't.
That's
but you
Shine's
called it
fault.
Back. You brought
I
it back. That
I
was
did
you.
Bring it back,
okay.
And that's my fault.
Don't blame
me. But
Shine.
You tried to make the case that Kellerman's not as idiotic as Parker.
I agree. I still
on
stand
this
by
one,
that.
He sounds
well, this one's bad. This one's bad. But Parker, I don't even want to talk about him. Like, I think at least Kellerman, he's on a real show. He's debating with Stephen A. Smith, who's a real guy. And, like, they go back and forth. Kellerman's actually excellent at boxing. I don't know if people even care about that. But he at least has something.
Well, and he was Michael's partner.
Right. Years and years of IMAX.
He has been on, he used to be on the Dale and Holly show.
Yeah.
Because he was Michael's buddy. But I don't remember him being as dumb as this.
Well, I think that's part of the gig. Like, that was because didn't he replace Skip Bayless? So that's kind of the gig. Like, you gotta go on there.
You gotta do really dumb stuff.
And if you've ever watched the show for any length of time, you realize that, wow, these guys disagree on every single topic. Like, every single one. Like, Antonio Brown versus the Raiders. Who do you have? One guy has Antonio Brown. One guy has the Raiders. Like, Ezekiel Elliott versus the Cowboys. One guy picks Elliott. One guy picks the Cowboys. That's the formula of the show.
Funny how it works out for them.
A little bit.
And Max is making more than me, so
yes,
you know, maybe I'd be willing to sound
doing all right.
Really stupid.
Yeah. He knows what he's doing.
For a certain, you know, percentage of coin.
Yes.
The other part that we haven't yet discussed, but frankly, I'm gonna admit here, we've been busy the last couple of days. So I have not yet watched Hard Knocks.
Oh yeah.
But I've heard a lot of the highlights of Hard Knocks. And in the open you also heard Teddy Bruschi, who was on the Jimmy Fund Radiothon, who was basically saying, just get a helmet on. You know, come on. There's 30 options.
Yeah.
Just get a helmet. And it was clear to me, based on what I heard from Hard Knocks, all this stuff about I can't see, my vision, none of that is true. There's only one thing Antonio Brown is worried about is, how do I look in my helmet?
Well, that's important. Do you think that's important?
I mean, that's the thing. More than
you ever heard a little saying called look good, play good? You ever heard that? Players subscribe to look good, play good.
I thought the whole idea was, I can't see out of the new helmet. He just cares how he looks.
That's part and parcel. I think that's one and the same. I think if you don't look good, you're not going to play good. And he also, maybe he can't see. Maybe he doesn't like the size of the helmet as well. That's possible.
It's idiotic.
He hasn't missed a game yet. Like, this is all talk in August. if he starts missing actual games for this, I could see there being a bigger issue. But it's a, you knew you were getting a soap opera when you brought Antonio Brown into the Raiders. So I'm not surprised that, I mean, I'm surprised at what the actual issue is. But you knew there was going to be something going on with him. But I think until he misses an actual game, I'm not going to freak out about it. And I don't think John Gruden's freaking out about it.
He's got a another session with an arbitrator coming up tomorrow.
They're having a hard time finding these helmets. And Rosenhaus thought they found a loophole, too. He thought that they did by finding a helmet that was made within the last 10 years, but that one didn't get that didn't pass the test for somehow. Because they said anything prior to 2010, you can't wear. So they found a helmet that was made in 2014, and for some reason it didn't pass the certain standards
well,
there.
But
now.
They also said it then has to be certified. And just because it was made in a certain date doesn't mean that it gets certified.
Right, because that's what they thought.
When it got tested, they didn't certify it, and they said, no, you can't wear it.
Right. But he is still with the team. They're playing their game. Excuse me. They're playing against the Packers up in Canada.
In Winnipeg.
And Antonio Brown's going. He was there at the last game. He was hanging out on the sidelines and everything else. So I think, again, it's a huge story in the offseason, and it is pretty comical. But he's going to be out there. I think he's going to have a monster season. I don't think the Raiders are going to be any good, but I think Antonio Brown's going to have another, you know, Pro Bowl, All-Pro type of season.
John Gruden seems rather toothless when he talks to Antonio Brown, doesn't he? I mean, he talks a tough game with other guys on the team, but when he's talking to Antonio Brown, it's all bubsy-palsy stuff.
Well, I think he knows that you have to treat these guys, everybody a little bit different.
And ironically, here it's just the opposite. Everybody who's been around here says, you should hear Belichick go after Brady. You know, he gets it as much as anybody else does. Well, that's not the way Gruden's handling it with Antonio Brown.
No, and I think that's smart because I think part of the reason why it ended so poorly in Pittsburgh was probably how Mike Tomlin handled Antonio Brown and how Ben Roethlisberger handled Antonio Brown. Now, maybe it's also a shelf life thing and those guys have been together for so long that it wasn't working out. But Gruden and Derek Carr, you see those guys, how they relate to him. So when Antonio Brown misses a day of practice, then he comes back the next day, Derek Carr's not saying, hey, where the hell were you? He said, hey, look who's back. Like, he's so excited to have him back. And I think that's kind of what you have to do. I think Gruden's actually doing it the best way possible.
Well, and Antonio Brown is thankful for how John Gruden is treating him.
Thanks for supporting me, coach. My f-ing head, the feet. People after me.
I've been there.
You've been the constant supporter. Come on, thank you.
I've been there. But if you got any problems, anything bothering you, come on, if you got any problems, I got problems.
We're all in this together.
You know what I'm saying?
So, I mean, I think he's doing exactly what you should do. Like, if you're John Gruden, you need to kind of baby this guy. He's somebody who obviously had issues with Pittsburgh. He shows up here. He's got two different things. One, The feet thing is just outrageous. He shows up with frostbite on his feet. He didn't mean to do that. And now the helmet thing, he's having all kinds of issues with the helmet thing. But if Gruden just kind of bails on him, well, then you're going to lose the guy for the season. And it's a fragile situation. And you saw me. He appreciates how Gruden has handled all this. And I think that's the best. Your only hope of getting something good out of him, if you're the Raiders, is probably to treat him that way.
Do you think that drive it privately, quietly, when he's, you know, all alone sitting in a room with Mike Mayock, it drives Gruden nuts? I would guess that it's like, really? I got to kiss this guy's feet again today?
Yeah, well, his feet.
Get it?
You got to be careful with that.
Thank you.
Yeah, you got to be real careful. Yeah, I mean, I'm sure he just wants everybody to go out there and just play football. But even with his time away from the game, he's been around it long enough where you're not going to have 53 guys with none of them have any types of, you know, prima donna attitudes or anything like that. I don't think it's as shocking to him as it would be, you know, somebody else. Like, you have to be kind of used to this. And when they acquired Antonio Brown, think about the circumstances in which they got him. If you brought him in, you knew something was going to go on. He wasn't just going to all of a sudden just reset and be like, I'm fine. I'm good to go. I have no problems here. He has all kinds of issues going on. It was a mess how he left Pittsburgh. So I think they were prepared for some of this stuff.
I watch it with interest. I've enjoyed it more than I expected I would. I'll give the Raiders credit because they've let all this stuff play out. I mean, Antonio Brown, you want to see him showing the bottoms of his feet, and they just look awful. You know, talking about the helmet, they haven't tried to hide, or this stuff they haven't tried to hide. There may be other stuff that they're not allowing, but this stuff, they've put it all out there.
And so, because I know some people were talking about, some of the reporters were questioning, all right, what's the deal going into week two with Hard Knocks? Like, just how much of it is going to be ignored? Are they going to try to make everything look better than it's going on, or are they going to tackle it? And I think what's also helped is they've probably had issues in other places.
Right.
And it's all about Antonio Brown. And I think
that's what I'm saying. There may be other things we're not seeing.
But yeah, for other players.
Right.
And I think Antonio Brown is fine being the center of attention. I don't think Gruden was wild about it. But once that, you know, once it was a done deal that Hard Knocks was going to be falling around his team, he knows that the coach is always one of the stars of that. And they're going to talk to those guys. You know, Richie Incognito, we got very little bit of him. Vontaze Burfict, I believe, is on the Raiders. We haven't even seen him, right? We haven't even seen him at all. And there's been a few other guys that have kind of really been able to fly under the radar. You know, Mark Davis, the owner, who can look like and sound like a buffoon.
We hardly ever see him. Saw him a little bit in episode one.
Yeah, it was just like an edited version of like one line, him talking to a bunch of Raiders alumni, and then that was it. And so if they can make it through these four episodes and all of the talk is on Antonio Brown, well, that's going to make things a lot easier for a lot of other guys who could have been, you know, pushed into a position where maybe they weren't comfortable.
I don't know what Gruden thinks in his private quiet moments, but I have an idea based on the little presentation he made last week that Mike Mayock's had it up to here.
Yeah, Mayock has, but I can't imagine, like, what did Mayock think he was getting into? Like, when they acquired Brown, did he just think he'll be fine? He'll shape up. It's like, why? So, I mean, but Mayock also knows, and you know what's really the most fascinating thing I think about Antonio Brown is all the issues that he's had, but when he does go out there, he's so head and shoulders better than everybody still. Like, he's in better shape than everybody, so he clearly takes that seriously. He knows the playbook. By all accounts, he knows the playbook as well, if not better than everybody, including Derek Carr. And this is his first year there. He's never even played a game for this team. And he's missed all these practices, and yet they throw him out there. He understands the audibles. He's running all the right routes. And it was incredible, too. The end of this last episode of Hard Knocks, they show Brown having the heart-to-heart with Gruden, and you think that they've sort of overcome everything. Next day, he's not at practice. He's still having the issues with the helmet. The next day after that, he's back wearing this outrageous jumpsuit, and then they cut to him on the field working by himself with a jugs machine, and he's catching passes one-handed with his left hand. The ball is screaming 1,000 miles an hour, and he's just plucking them out of the sky with his left hand.
See, men lie, women lie, but the analytics don't.
He was sitting there with some nerd in this scene, and the guy is talking about how Antonio Brown, I think, ran the fastest of everybody. Wasn't that the deal, Shannon? It was like he runs 12 miles an hour more often than other guys do.
On average, he runs faster, at a faster pace, in longer distances than anybody else.
And he was like so proud of himself for that. You're like, all right, fine. You know, whatever it takes.
And like, they were like teasing some other receiver that's apparently a big-time receiver that's like nowhere close, but they wouldn't spoil it.
No, they wouldn't. They wouldn't say it. They wouldn't bury him there. As crazy as his season was, and it ended with him not playing in the final game of the season, still led the league in touchdown catches, and he still made Ben Roethlisberger look like a halfway decent quarterback.
And you're right, he probably doesn't need, you know, training camp the way other guys do. If he knows the playbook already, as you say, he probably doesn't need the practice reps. It probably would help Carr.
I think it would help
if
Carr,
he had
probably
more opportunities to throw the ball to him, but
right.
But
even Carr hasn't played in the first two games, I don't think. I think, like Brady, I don't think Carr's played at all. He'll probably play, what do they play tonight, I think, out in Winnipeg. He'll probably play tonight, but overall, I don't think it'll be that big of a deal.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Mike's in Wakefield. Hey, Mike.
Oh, gentlemen, sorry. Working in my studio right now. So, first and foremost, I want to thank you guys and WEEI for everything that you've done in the past few days. I've been following you guys since Keith talked to the station. I've been a huge fan of your show ever since then. With the addition of Greg Hill, I've become a big fan of the morning show as well. So I truly want to thank you for all the hard work that you guys did with Dana Farber and the Jimmy Fund. And it's an amazing effort. 36 hours of radio on a sports station with barely any type of sports-specific information being relayed besides breaking news. I think that's phenomenal. Dale, you and Glenn, I think as as kind of like the veterans of the business really carry all four programs throughout the day. I think that your leadership really, it resounds in the people who are newer to the business, and I really appreciate that. One thing that I really took away from the entire telethon was my sister and I, as you know, I'm the uncle that hoses the baby down for diaper changes.
Right.
So one of the things I really took away from it was just the day before the telethon, my sister was telling me that my nephew's going through this whole owl phase and not really sure if it's attention grabbing or growing pains, because, I mean, he's growing at an extraordinary rate. I mean, a very happy, healthy boy. But he is growing at a very extraordinary rate. If you looked at him, you would not say that he's 2.5. You would think that he was like 5, which I couldn't be more pleased about as a former athlete myself. I can't wait to get this kid to throw a curveball. But hearing the story that I heard, whether it was on Greg's show or yours, I couldn't really remember, but I knew right away that I had to call my sister and be like, hey, listen, this is what I just heard. And it sounds almost identical to your situation. So,
well, I listen, if anybody gets anything out of what we've done the last couple of days and it helps someone going forward,
right,
tell your sister, go get her son checked.
Absolutely.
Do
and,
that.
And as we pointed out, I mean, how many times, Dale, did these stories start with my wife, my girlfriend said, this isn't right. You need to go
in. You need to go.
And how many even were caught just on general screenings? You know, yeah. And people just going in and actually feeling fine. And then all of a sudden you get a blood test back and you say, well, these numbers don't look right. And so that's just important to stay on top of all that stuff.
I appreciate the thought, Mike, and thank you for the call. But I let me stress this again, as I did at the top of the program. This isn't about us. It's not about the radio station. It's not about the people on the radio station. This is always, always about the patients, the parents, and the caregivers at the Jimmy Fund and the Dana-Farber Cancer Institute. That's all this has ever been about. And all, our only job is to give them the place to tell their story. Nothing else involves us at all. It's all them. And that's the point that we tried to emphasize over the last couple of days. 617-779-7937, Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI. I don't think we work enough nickel back into the rotation here.
I think that one is enough.
I think, well, it was the Raw theme too, you know.
Yeah, so I'll come back with Nickelback every other break.
Sure.
Just keep it's the only. It's the only
Nickelback Thursday.
It's the only Nickelback song I know, and only because it was the Raw open.
I'm telling you, they had one heater. It was called Leader of Men. We talked about this before. It was, they had one good song, and then they kind of...
They had like 8 good songs, Keith.
All right, Sean, please.
So we had a lot of guests over the course of the last 2 days over the Jimmy Fund Radio Telethon. Most of the guests that we had on were there to support, obviously, all of the guests were there to support the fundraising efforts on behalf of the Jimmy Fund and the Dana-Farber. And then, you know, when you had somebody on, you'd work in some news stuff with them as well. Like, you know, when we had, you know, Nathan Eovaldi and David Price on, when we had Dave Dombrowski on talking about, you know, spring training and how they're going to reassess how they approach the pitching staff.
So, and Shaughnessy.
And that too. So Adam Schefter was on yesterday with the Greg Hill program. And there was a couple of things in there that that stuck out at us.
You could even say it's kind of common sense, and it's not necessarily a unique idea. However, when Adam Schefter says it, it's so much different. He's the number one NFL guy.
Only got about 3 million followers or something.
And even when it's not a report from Schefter and it's an opinion from Schefter,
yes,
it's laced in so many, it's so much knowledge. Like, he is so tied in with the league, with the Patriots specifically, that when he says stuff like this, you hear it differently than if somebody else were to say it.
Yeah, well, it's going to be an issue that just hangs out there all year long. And I didn't hear of any discord. I'm not aware of any discord. I don't think that that was a factor. I just think that, you know, people forget that people have lives and they have families. And sometimes, you know, you want to do what's best for your wife or your kids. And Tom is 42 now. And I'm sure that his family has sacrificed plenty for him to do what he's done and to be as dedicated as he is to his job, to do it at the level he has. So, again, if it's me just looking at it from the outside, I'm just reading the signs, right? His home is for sale. He's on a contract that voids. I mean, it's just saying that this has the potential, one way or another, for this to be his last season in New England.
Oh, Adam.
Come on.
Oh, Shefty, Adam. You're killing me.
Adam, no.
let me repeat that. His home is for sale. His contract voids. It has the potential. I'm not telling you it will be, but I'm just telling you the elements are in place for it to be. Isn't that odd? All those things, like, doesn't that make you go, that's interesting? Uh-huh. It makes me go, that's interesting.
I don't know if interesting. I mean, it
but
is.
You know
interesting.
What? He's right.
Of course he is.
And we don't like to hear it around here. I mean, poor Fitzy, I thought, was just going to.
I know. I'm surprised he made it into work today.
Went to a depressive state.
I know.
He's right. If this was Drew Brees, exactly the same scenario. Yeah. His contract voids at the end of the year. They can't franchise him. He's got his house in New Orleans up for sale. We'd look at that and say, he's out.
Of course he would.
Yes.
Yeah, and I think that, and that's what Schefter's just putting it together. And again, I think I said something similar. A lot of people said something similar. But when you hear it from Adam Schefter, it just holds so much more weight. Because let's face it, if Tom Brady plays well this year, whether they win a Super Bowl or not, let's just say he plays well so there's no sign of slippage and it's the same great quarterback that you can win with. And if he leaves the Patriots in the offseason, it might be the biggest story in sports history.
It's going to be right up there.
Right, like if he's still playing well.
Like Michael Jordan leaving the Bulls, too, but.
Him retiring to go play baseball, that was a shock. But even then, he'd only won 3 titles at that point. Brady has won 6 Super Bowls and has spent 20 years with the Patriots. And if he just up and left and signed with another team while Bill Belichick was still here, while the team was still good, I really think it's the biggest story in the history of sports. And if he's going to leave any kind of clues, you know, 8 months earlier, we have to get in on this. We have to figure out, we have to try to piece it all together. And if you want to use Adam Schefter, if you want to use whoever, all the different reports coming out of there, there's the house for sale thing, I think, can be a bit overblown. I don't think that's the biggest deal. People latch onto that so much more than they do it being important to Brady that he couldn't be franchised, because if the team didn't want to give him a long-term deal, because the team didn't think he's going to play till he's 45, like Brady says he wants to, then because it's the NFL, you have that ability to franchise tags. You can take anybody, and you basically have a team option for any player. And he made sure that they couldn't do that. That means he is considering going to play for somebody else. And again, there wouldn't be a bigger story ever to see him in another uniform. And I know people always say, hey, Montana played for another team. Peyton Manning played for another team. He's better than those guys. He's meant more to this franchise than those guys meant to those franchises. He's won more Super Bowls. He's better than those guys. He's been here longer than those guys. So it would be by far the biggest story.
It was a bit of a bombshell for poor Fitzy and the other guys on the Greg Hill Show. But if you could step back, and it's hard for us to do, if we could just take a step back and look at it, it all kind of makes sense.
Oh, I said the same thing when absolutely. It happened. I mean, I'm just saying.
Now, I still think Schefter said, I still think that they will get a contract done. I still think he'll be here next year. I mean, I still think he's going to continue to play here.
So what about this? If they don't sign a deal during the season, do you think he's gone?
Probably.
Right, it's the same thing we've talked about with Mookie Betts. Like, if you hit free agency, aren't you probably gone? Because if they didn't want to give Brady 2 years guaranteed when he was 42, why would they want to give him 2 years when he's 43?
They wouldn't.
But another team would swoop in, whether it's Tennessee or another team, and wouldn't they say, hey, here's 2 years guaranteed? Another team, I feel like, would be willing to take the chance of a second year just to guarantee they get him for that first year. And every season, there's always that team that you look at and you say, man, if they just had a good quarterback, they'd be good. Like, was it 2 years ago, the Jacksonville Jaguars? If they had anybody besides Bortles, they might win the Super Bowl. Tennessee, I think, is a good example. If they have anybody other than Mariota or Tannehill, they might get to a Super Bowl. And so those teams are going to be out there. And if they see Tom Brady as a free agent, what good quarterbacks make it to free agency anyway, let alone the best one of all time?
So there's one other part that Schefter kind of included in this.
Yeah.
And it was him looking at a situation similar and putting two and two together and coming up with what he thought was going to be the ultimate outcome and putting it out there and upsetting people almost as much as Fitzy got upset.
But sometimes it's just these little things that you just look at, right? Like, so I had just gotten to Indianapolis in the combine, and I was sitting there during lunch, and I'm playing around on Twitter, and I don't know what led me to do it. There was something that happened that day, and I go something to the effect of course this is LeBron's last year in Cleveland. Like, just look at it. Like, his contract's up. He's not talking. He hasn't spoken to the team, whatever it was, whatever the elements in place were. And I tweeted out, that was my opinion. I didn't know anything. Just like in this particular case, I don't know anything more than we all know right now. But you just look at it sometimes. You say, something is afoot here. And I put that out there. And I was amazed at the reaction on Twitter from all the people in Cleveland who called me every curse in the book and denigrated and demeaned me. It was unbelievable. I'm like, wow. I guess they don't see it. You know, they're living it. They don't want to believe it. That's their guy.
Yeah.
And sometimes, you know, you're so close to the picture that it's tough to see the full picture when you're inside the frame.
It's blind loyalty. And that's what we're all suffering from. So,
well, again, and that's good that everybody's that loyal. And I'm not telling you I'm right. I'm just telling you, look at the signs. The signs suggest something is going on. That's all. Now, he may sign a lifetime contract next year. He may play 20 more years in New England. But it's odd. That's all I'm saying. It's odd.
So the Brady-LeBron comparison is not apples to apples at all. First of all, everybody outside of Cleveland knew that LeBron was going to leave. Who thought LeBron was staying there? What's so different about LeBron
and Brady? The people of Cleveland probably were.
That's one section and their fans.
Hoping. Right,
and that's
right,
just
right.
Different.
Just but, like the fans here are saying, like, he can't go. He won't go anywhere.
I'm a fan. I think he's gone. I think there's a chance. I think it's a 50-50 as it stands right now. Maybe he doesn't even have his decision made up yet, so it's hard to know. LeBron did have his decision made up. LeBron had already left the team once before, so that's very different than Brady. And LeBron was playing that last year. Kyrie Irving left. Kevin Love was hurt. That wasn't a championship team. He was going to leave. Tom Brady's team is still really good. I know Gronk left. But they still have Edelman. The defense is getting better and better. They just drafted him a wide receiver. He's got maybe the best stable of running backs he's had in a while. So the team is still really good. In Cleveland, it wasn't. So I think the LeBron thing, like, that's great. You know, Schefter sniffed that out and he looked it up. But there was no way LeBron was going to stay. There's still a chance Brady stays.
Let me give you one more bit of information, because the story that we told you about half an hour ago has been advanced. The Laconia Daily Sun has just put out a new piece. It's written by someone named Michael Mortensen, and I'm quoting now. New England Patriot safety Patrick C. Chung is scheduled to be in Belknap Superior Court next Wednesday to be arraigned on a charge of cocaine possession. A Belknap County grand jury indicted Chung on the charge on August 8th. A highly placed law enforcement source confirmed the person indicted and the football player are the same person. Chung, quote, did possess or have under his control a quantity of the controlled substance cocaine, unquote, on June 25th in Meredith, according to the indictment. When asked for a booking photo, Meredith Police Chief Kevin Morrow said Chung, quote, was not arrested and there is no photo to provide, unquote. The details surrounding Chung's encounter with law enforcement were not clear in the indictment. A number for Chung's agent could not be found. Town records show that Patrick Chung owns a lakeside residence in Meredith. Court records also list an address on Green Street in Foxborough. A court notification form in Chung's court file states he is scheduled to be arraigned next Wednesday at 8:30 a.m. The form states that defendants are required to appear at their arraignments. However, an attorney could request the arraignment be waived, or an attorney could ask the court for permission to appear in court on his client's behalf. Cocaine possession is a Class B felony, carries a potential prison term of 3.5 to 7 years.
Well, it didn't take long, right? I mean, we were talking about it less than an hour ago, and now everybody's already talking about it. And, you know, Tommy Curran, Ben Volen, those guys have all jumped on this as well. So now it's just another league matter. I'm sure when Belichick is asked about this, the next time he is, you know, in front of the media.
Post game tonight, right?
Yeah, right. I'm sure he'll say it's a league matter. Or do you think they have a statement? Do they put out a statement between now and then? And then that way he can just go to, hey, we already had a statement on this. They do like to do that.
I guess the other question, and I don't know.
I just said Steve Burton's going to ask him at halftime.
Oh.
That'd be great. That would be
thoughts and prayers to Steve Burton.
Like, go get him, Steve. You got him.
So what I also don't know is what an indictment on a drug charge means from the NFL's perspective.
Right. I don't know.
Does an indictment, because it's not a conviction, he has not been found guilty, anything like that, although the league doesn't really care about guilty, you know, findings.
Mm-hmm.
Does an indictment on a possession charge of cocaine carry some sort of ramifications under the league's drug policy?
I don't know.
I don't either.
Yeah. I have a feeling we're going to find out.
Yeah. Well, when we told you about an hour or so ago about this initial report that came out yesterday, we said that the name and the age match.
Yeah, Patrick C. Chung.
Patrick C. Chung, 32
years
32.
Old. Yeah,
we told you that we had been told that he had a place in Meredith, New Hampshire. All of that has since been confirmed by the Laconia Daily News. They're the only people reporting this. Excuse me, the Laconia Daily Sun. I apologize.
Thank you.
They are the only people reporting this. Now everybody else is sort of jumping on their reporting. I don't know how anybody else would even know this stuff.
I know.
But it's out there now.
Yep.
And the question becomes, what happens from a Patriots perspective and from a league perspective to one of the unquestioned leaders of this team?
Well, you got Daron Harmon still. You know, he's a leader too. You got Devin McCourty back there. There was always a chance that they were going to keep an extra safety. There was thoughts that Duke Dawson, who they drafted as a corner, also going to play some safety. You got Terrence Brooks, more of a special teamer, but he can do it as well. Obi Melifonwu, right? He could play a couple of spots in the secondary. So it does seem like between corner and safety, it is a position of depth. You would rather have Chung out there, but I think that's a spot where they could make up for it.
Let's go back to Daron Harmon for a moment, because when he was on with us 2 weeks ago, he talked about how at training camp he's been working out at both free safety and strong safety.
Yeah, he might be the strong safety.
Because the more you can do, right, the more value.
They knew.
I wonder
about
if they've been preparing.
Yeah, I think they know. Now, I don't know if all 53 guys or 90 guys on the team know, but I would think some of the guys in the secondary know. I don't think this is going to be a surprise to Belichick. I don't think it's a surprise to Jerod Mayo. Like, I think those guys know what's going on.
I'll give you one other football bit of news, just because we just keep getting inundated with this stuff. This courtesy of Pro Football Talk.
Yeah, this is fascinating.
And I'm going to quote what they say. Washington still hasn't seen Trent Williams, and the team continues to show signs of not being willing to show him the door. According to J.P. Finley of NBCSportsWashington.com, the team recently turned down what would appear to be a solid offer for the want-away left tackle. Echoing a report from Kevin Sheehan of 980 The Team, Finley reports Washington was offered New England's 2020 first round draft pick in exchange for Williams, and Washington turned it down.
If that's true, that is so dumb by Washington. This guy's not going to play for you. I thought it would take a third or a fourth round pick to get him. He has this year and next year under contract. He doesn't apparently want more money. He just has the beef with the medical staff there. He wants out of Washington. He's not going to play. He doesn't care about getting fined. He doesn't care about not getting his check for this upcoming season. He wants out. And if you were offered a first-round pick for that, that is idiotic to not deal it. And if you're the Patriots, that is a significant offer. They're not tossing around first-round picks. But that might go to show you maybe they like Isaiah Wynn, but they don't love Isaiah Wynn. And if you're offering a first-round pick for Trent Williams.
As Mike Freeman wrote, if accurate, turning this down, meaning the Redskins, turning this down makes no sense.
No, it's dumb. That's why you wonder if it's 100%
true. Which actually makes
true.
Sense, that, considering it's the Redskins.
Yeah, they're dumb, so maybe they would turn it down. But that is a significant offer. And it's funny, because just after last week's preseason game, everyone was like, hey, Isaiah Wynn looks pretty good.
Looks
pretty good. And the Patriots are like, no. Nope.
We
want to give up a first rounder. We don't think he's that good.
617-779-7937. Right back to your calls in just a couple of minutes. Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI.
I have learned that the Patriots were willing to offer their 2020 first-round pick to the Redskins for Trent Williams, but they were told by the Redskins that it wasn't enough. That's it. That's the news. It's going to be denied by the Redskins. They don't want for a second Trent to think that they are giving in. They don't want Trent Williams to think for a moment that they are giving in. They are standing firm publicly and with him and his agent because that's their position with him. They want him to play those final 2 years of the deal. They think that's fair. And look, from their perspective, it is fair.
It's a guy named Kevin Sheehan from 980 The Team. He and another guy by the name of J.P. Finley of NBCSportsWashington.com both report that the Washington Redskins turned down the Patriots' offer of their 2020 first-round draft pick in exchange for offensive tackle Trent Williams.
How do you not trade a first-round? I mean, clearly this has been an issue they've had for several weeks, if not longer. He's not going to play for them. He's only under contract for two more years
anyway. Well, and do they think he's going to give in? I mean, I guess that's what they're counting on.
Yeah, but even then, if you can get a first-round pick for him, don't you do it?
Like, they said it wasn't enough. I mean, I don't know what
they really
thought.
So that just means you're not trading him then. That just means that you think he is going to play for you and that's everything's going to be fine, which I, just by reading everything from afar, it does not sound like it could ever just be fine. But unless they got a whole new medical staff, I don't think Trent Williams is going back to Washington. I thought they were going to have to move on, like a mid-round pick was something that you were going to have to get. Third or fourth rounder. To be offered a first-round pick and to say no, that just proves how dumb the Redskins are. But the bigger story to me, from the Patriots' side of things, because when we heard Trent Williams could be available, I think everybody said, oh my God, if you can get this guy, he's gone to seven straight Pro Bowls. He's one of the best left tackles in football. And if you're trying to maximize the next year for Brady, maybe just the next year, you want to make sure that offensive line is good to go. And maybe they are not confident in Isaiah Wynn to show up this year and be the left tackle week one through hopefully another Super Bowl run. And if they can make a run after Trent Williams, even if it means giving up a first round pick, then they're willing to do it.
Let me play devil's advocate. Is it possible that it is another member of the offensive line they don't have confidence in that they're saying, look, let's move Isaiah Wynn to guard, or let's move him to right tackle. Let's get Trent Williams in here to be the left tackle. We still like Isaiah Wynn. We want him to be. But, you know, whoever it is, Marcus Cannon, you know, has got physical issues.
Well, that's possible. And there would have to be physical issues because the other four guys are all proven.
Yeah,
the other four guys.
Very much
like.
So.
Shaq Mason's one of the best guards in football. Joe Tooney, all he does is start Super Bowls his whole career. Maybe Isaiah Wynn plays guard, but, you know, he's not playing center and maybe right tackle. And, you know, I think they would like the idea of having some depth, but. You drafted Isaiah Wynn in the first round, and in this scenario, you're giving up another first-round pick for Trent Williams. Both of those guys should play. Obviously, Trent Williams would be your starter this year, and you would think even next. So, yeah, you're right. Maybe it's not Isaiah Wynn. I lean towards him just because he's the only guy who's unproven, and we don't know anything about him.
No, I agree. But the question now becomes, there's somebody they think Trent Williams is worth giving up a first-round pick to replace.
And we know that he would be your left tackle. You're not moving Trent Williams anywhere
else. No.
So that's a done deal. But that is a significant offer. I mean, I wouldn't have been shocked if Patriots offered fourth-round pick for Trent Williams and the Redskins turned it down. That's a more realistic story. But a first-rounder?
They went right in with a first-round if these reports are true.
Who have they traded a first-round pick for? I mean, they hold on to their first-round picks. Sure, they'll go up and down. Oh, yeah, thank you, Shine. Brandon Cooks.
Yep.
They traded a first-round pick for Brandon Cooks, who you can make a case was a top-10 receiver.
He was good. He was really good.
He was a top-10 receiver.
So good that you couldn't afford to keep him.
And then you flipped him. And that's the other thing. And you got him the last year where he was still cheap. And then he had 2 years left on his deal, similar to Trent Williams, and they were able to flip him for another first-round pick, in fact, higher up the draft board. Yeah, that's a good point, Shime. So they have recently traded a first-round pick, but again, that was for, I think you could say, maybe a position of need or a skill set they didn't really have on the team. They wanted to beef up the offense and you know, really.
Over the place on the morning in which they play their first home preseason game. We've told you about Patrick Chung. He is the guy who was indicted in New Hampshire. He is scheduled to appear in court next Wednesday morning at 8:30. on a Class B felony charge of cocaine possession. And we've told you the reports out of D.C. that the Redskins turned down the Patriots' offer of a first-round draft pick.
Always
first-round pick for Trent Williams.
Always something going on with the Patriots.
Whoa!
Trading first-round picks, guys still, you know, having cocaine on them. And, oh, by the way, they got their third preseason game tonight. First one at home.
Oh, I think Tom Brady's going to play.
He could.
617-779-7937. Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.